Welcome to the Vibrant Living Network. Have you ever wondered what is possible beyond possible? What is the thing you've been wondering and inquiring about? Are you just feeling stuck and don't know why? Are you thinking or are you seeing? Seeing allows us to expand and have this other experience. We want to invite you for that wake-up call. We want to invite your spirit, your soul, so to be more alive, more connected. Glenn Brooks has been a life coach for over 33 years, author of Divorced to Patterns, Not Each Other, an explorer of what is possible. He has worked with people all around the world. Join us for a wake-up conversation, a dialogue with you. We will have some of the most interesting contributors. We will be talking to some of the most interesting people and have some of the most resourceful teachers, wisdom-filled people from around the world join us. Share your voice, ask the questions, become free of the known into a new world of possibility. We are going to talk about all the things you wonder about: how to live, how to heal, how to connect, how to love, how to be seen. Your life is precious. Enjoy it.
Hello, I'm Glenn Brooks. It's good being with you today. I wanted to invite you to meet us in the Remarkable today for our format. And what is the Remarkable? What is the Remarkable? I had a remarkable experience the other day. I had went to see someone, and she invited someone else to come by, and before I know it, I sensed the remarkable. So in our I call these, by the way, vertical leaping. I've come up with this term. So a vertical leap is where you're kind of going along, and your thinking is horizontal. You're kind of in a certain mode. And then something happened, and it kind of makes you more aware. Physically, you become more awake. You sense something different. And this is very wonderful because it allows us to access another aspect of ourselves and also to have that relational connection. So I want to introduce Janet Carafa, world-class.
And John is here also.
And John is here also. That's amazing. I'll say that as well, John. John is here. Remarkable John is here also, John Adago, whose book I was reading this morning on habits. We're going to get into habits and the remarkable. How to use habits as an opportunity to become more awake. Well, since I was on Ladies First, I was going to finish with Janet, then go right to John. John, welcome.
Thank you.
So, and by the way, just to acknowledge the remarkable, I met Janet Carafa in the Remarkable almost 3 years ago. And when I met her in person, we performed on stage at an event I put together called Unscripted Power. Janet's remarkable in the sense she's versatile and flexible, and she assists people in having an experience of their body and movement that allows them another level of freedom that often they didn't even realize they have. So Janet, well, deeply welcome. I'm so happy you're on the Vibrant Living team and that we're going to start doing retreats in Kauai. I just said it in a cool, kind of cool way.
Yes.
So John, aloha, welcome.
So thank you.
I'm just reaching over John because we had a conversation that was remarkable this morning about habits. I'm going to I'll introduce John as someone who's been in the study and participation and experience of the remarkable and how we could bring some of these practices into our lives. We're going to actually later in the show, we're going to get into the healing power of intimacy and vulnerability. So really how to be a human being that lives these practices in a way where we could become more awake each day, each moment. And habits. So habits, John, you wrote a chapter on habits. I love the story in this chapter on habits. So I guess I'll start with that. By the way, this comes from John's book, Ancient Wisdom. It's a very quick chapter, but it's very powerful, and it just tells the story of this. Was she a monk, John? Was the woman in the story a monk, or she was a devotee of some sort?
She was a devotee. She was a devotee of a teacher, of a guru in India.
Yeah.
So she was helping out in the ashram.
Right. And so she had a habit of stealing, basically, or taking things.
Yeah, taking things that didn't belong to her.
Right. And why don't you tell the story, actually? Why don't you go ahead and tell the story? You You felt that was
so the lady is she's cleaning the office of the teacher, and she takes an alarm clock off to the shelf and puts it in her purse. A little while later, someone notices it missing, and they begin to wonder where it is. And she expressed great indignation that someone might actually take something that belonged to the teacher. Well, later on that evening, they all gather for a meeting with the teacher. In the middle of the meeting, the alarm clock in her purse goes off. To her great embarrassment, obviously. And the point of the story is we all actually often carry some habits from our past that are really no longer appropriate. And from time to time, they embarrass us or get us in trouble. And so the chapter goes on to speak of physical habits and speak of habits of mind, of unwanted thoughts and feelings and emotional reactions that we sometimes have to people with people. You know, some people have, one marriage fails and then you hear that they married somebody else. It's just like the person that of the first marriage that failed. People tend to move in circles as opposed to spirals. And the question is, well, how do we begin to introduce a conscious impulse so that our life begins to evolve, so that the patterns become a spiral as opposed to a circle, so that things begin to refine?
I was having this conversation. Yeah, that's very beautiful, having a spiralic or a spiral and getting a sense that we could participate in a way that's awakening and connecting. I was having a conversation yesterday with my osteopath, and he's a student of different teachings, older traditions, teachings of awareness. And he was telling me about this one, I guess it's a 12-year program. And during the 12 years, you absolutely need a love partner. You need to be married. And so it's a very strict thing. You gotta be married. So he's telling me this one guy went to 10 years, and then his wife left. So he had to start again. So he finished the program, I guess, in 21 years or something. He had to do it again. And so there's something about devotion that really is distinguishing. So devotion is kind of like, I guess, another aspect of us. You know, Rudolf Steiner talks a lot about this. I actually had a story about a habit. I was researching Lyme disease. My wife had really bad Lyme disease at the time. And I called this neurologist who was an anthroposophical neurologist. He studied the spiritual teachings of the soul. And I called him up and I said to him, what do you think is the most relevant thing around, you know, healing this in my wife? And he said he called it conscious will or soul will. And what he told me was, it's really interesting. So it's a summer's day. It's about 100 degrees. And he told me that I need to bring something to her that inspires her to use her conscious will. And on the desk, there was a catalog from a company called Earthshoe. And I went in. I know what it was. I went to the backyard and I showed her the catalog. She was laying on a white sheet because we could see ticks on a white sheet. And basically, she pointed to these red shoes. And I had the company overnight the red shoes. And she started to get better. And so I joked to some people that the red shoes, but conscious will as a way of kind of gaining some mastery over the habits. And then in groups, this quality of intimacy is a group. So conscious will to be able to go beyond the habit, habitual, seems to be one of the ways we, I guess, interrupt the mechanical, the thing that kind of almost has a fake life of its own. So I'm going to go into from this to the idea of retreating and forwarding, because when we get together with a group of people and we have this, if you will, devotional practice with them, and we begin to find our breaths together and we devote ourselves to someone in the group, it changes the whole field. It's what Dr. Norm Shealy, who's one of my mentors, he paid $1 million to study congruence. And he said congruence is the most powerful habit towards longevity. It changes our immunity, changes our whole way of being. So to be congruent in a group is like you're very in sync, not just with your movement, but the other movement of other people. Now, since you teach groups, Janet, and since you're interested share about that. What the congruence of a group, what do you notice when people walk in a room in terms of congruence and the remarkable?
Okay. Well, I have really amazing experience and techniques from being at the American Mime Theater in our company, a professional mime theater. And what we had techniques to bring us all together and step together into the creative state where we could be interactively creative, move in the theater company. And this technique called the prep, which is part of what is called the medium of the art form of American mime theater. And so the prep is what created by Paul J. Curtis, who was the director, the master of mime at the American Mime Theater, founder of the American Mime Theater in New York City. Now, he created that. So the prep, what we would do day in and day out together, when we would get together to rehearse, we'd start off with the prep. And he would say, you know, here we are, a bunch of crazies coming in from New York City, from our lives, to work together in silence and step into the creative state and discover and create. Basically. And so this prep was what we did, is a technique. And what we would do is it's 18 minutes long, and it would basically shift us out of the normal, out of the mundane state that we were in of walking, talking, speaking, doing things, into the creative state. And it would, and we would do, first we would assemble, which we would come together, hold hands, and have eye contact. Then, and that was for a minute or whatever. And mm-hmm. then we would go into what's the physical. So we would animate. So get ourselves sweaty within a minute, you know, doing sit-ups, you know, something like that. Then we'd mm-hmm. go into the emotional. The emotional, we would feel and call out our emotions. And bring it from small emotion to larger. And so we'd work out our emotion there for 2 minutes. Then we'd go into the mental. And that was to bring up a memory of what we did last week, you know, something exact in the memory that we could bring to mind. And then we go into the spiritual, which is to hold still and have a prayer and go into the spiritual realm. And then we go into a walkthrough, which is to go through what the goals were for what you brought to prepare, that's prepared for this rehearsal that was going to come up. Then we would do relating one-to-one, which was we go up to one person and share something that was true between us. You feel this way and I feel this way. Whether or not mm-hmm. they felt it was true or not, it just mm-hmm. created vulnerability. And but it would have to be something that was what would bring us closer together, that I really hate you and you really hate me, you know, something that would bring us closer together. And then relating to the team. So we would come together and we'd say, whatever it is, and that would bring closer together and create vulnerability. Then we'd have the final assemble where we'd hold hands, look at each other, and then we'd jump off and hold in our positions ready to begin. So this is a physical, mental, emotional, spiritual workout of a group of people coming together to step into the creative state. And that is the brilliance of mime, of the art of mime, and the different exercises that are available to in order to bring a group together. That's one example.
I like how you did the different bodies, the emotional body, the physical body, and then you shared something that brought you together. We're going to take a pause in a moment. Thank you, Janet. I was just tuning into like my day and how I sort of practice that, you know, with, I often practice it with people. I know this is part of mine, but a lot of times I see a young child, I'll kind of squat down and I'll wave, and sometimes just so responsive. And so we have this sort of living, wonderful universe around us that we can make remarkable. To receive the remarkable is to become armored. You know, this next month, we have an amazing launch, a vibrant launch, Vibrant Book Launch and Speaker Launch for John Adago. And we're going to do an author's profile. And I figured, John, I would ask you, after all these studies, what's the most vulnerable thing you'd want to say about yourself? Like, we're going to do this, we're going to have this whole section about you and Om Times Radio, letting people know that you're really launching the next level of your career, of your life. I guess it's your mission. So what would you want to share with people about you at the most personal level that they could say, oh my God, that's John Adago. That's remarkable, John. What would you say?
That's a tough question.
I know. I asked you a tough question.
You asked me a lot of tough questions, Glenn.
I know. Janet calls me tough question.
You should give me a cue. Maybe give me a little cue before the show so that I have a minute to think about it.
You know the greatness of spontaneity, though.
Your job isn't to make it as difficult as possible for me, is it?
Well, that's what my parents might say about me. But no, it's to be spontaneous with you and totally cover you, because I could share what I noticed about you. I could see that you're someone who brings a very warm heart, and you seem to really, you know, diligently inquire and bring this to your life. And, you know, you study these teachings, which is wonderful, of you, what you call the masters. But then I feel what you've done is you've sort of brought this to another level, and now you want to be in groups, and now you want to bring this. I guess I see the opportunity of a lot of people is how they deal with transition. So I'll let you transition to deepening the response to our author's corner for the vibrant launch for your books and your being a facilitator. We'll continue with Vibrant Living. Your life's precious. Enjoy it. True things happen, beautiful and the spontaneous. Stay with us.
The Real Conscious Connection. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of Om Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of Om Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Conflict comes in many forms and often triggers a fight-or-flight response. Some of us gravitate toward conflict, while many will stop at little to nothing to avoid it. Unfortunately, what we resist will persist, which often forces us to face our fear and deal with it head on. Join me during my show, Conflict Rising, as I discuss the important role of conflict with leaders who have moved through it successfully. Tune in Thursdays at 3 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Remember, it's always darkest before the dawn.
Opiates has taken everything and everyone I've ever loved away from me. Everything.
I blew my ankle out and I got prescribed pain pills by my doctor.
If making my detox public is going to help somebody, I'm all for it. I just wish I would have had a warning.
Opioid dependence can happen after just 5 days. Know the truth, spread the truth. A message from Truth, the Ad Council, and ONDCP.
Hello, I'm Glenn Brooks. You're listening to the Vibrant Living Network, experiencing the remarkable. I'm talking with John Adago. He's authored several books. He's a facilitator and author of many books, including the one I have in my hand, Ancient Wisdom. I was just reading through it. Janet Caraffa, you're an innovative. You know, you're very innovative, but what I love about you is I really love your curiosity and your willingness to be in the remarkable, you know, is an impulse. And there's one thing to think about things, and there's another thing to go beyond our thinking and discover something. Even when I threw that tough question at you, John, when I asked you, because I feel like a lot of people would like to get this sense of you that's in some ways hard to express, very hard to express.
Hmm.
But also I would imagine...
Well, an answer came to mind, actually.
Oh, okay, cool, cool. All right.
And I'm glad I had the commercial break to settle in a little bit because...
Oh, you, good, good.
It came to mind when I'm most vulnerable with the people whom I am closest with.
Mm-hmm.
And the person I'm closest with is my wife.
Yes.
And in because what I wish to be for her and present to her is to be a conscious or positive influence.
Mm-hmm.
But we were speaking about habits a little while ago. And since
yes.
I spend more time with her than any other human being, many of my manifestations sort of are habitual, what I say and mm-hmm. what I do.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that's often, in fact, that's not to her benefit. That does not uplift her. You have the same, experience with when my children were younger. You know, perhaps you're reading a newspaper and they want your attention and they tug on your sleeve and you kind of half answer them while still reading the newspaper. They will not accept that. They'll tug. They'll make a fuss. They want your full and undivided love and attention because every human being needs that as much as they need air and water. And so where my vulnerability is in the presence of my family, the people I love the most, we could say, I am most aware of all the unconscious, mechanical, habitual moments. But sometimes, I mean, young children, for example, will imitate whatever you do. And sometimes you see a four-year-old doing something that he clearly is imitating something he saw you do, and it's clearly something that you don't want him doing. This wakes you up. And it makes you realize that one of the biggest responsibilities you have to other people is the example you set. Because that is a stronger influence than anything you say. It's not just, you know, my father used to say to me, do as I do, not as I say. No, he said, do as I say, not as I do. But in fact, I did as he did.
Mm-hmm.
That's growing up, I realized that I picked up a great deal of his behavior and characteristics.
Yeah.
Every son does so. You can't help it. So I can say, do as I say, not as I do. But in fact, the people around me are going to be more influenced by my example. And so it's important that I'm present for them. This is a form of love that mm-hmm. I do not wish to be an inferior example. Sometimes in a conversation with my wife, just some thought comes through mind and goes out the mouth. And then it sets her off on a particular trip or emotional thing, or she goes on to, and I'm going and I'm watching this happen and realize it happened because I said that a few minutes ago. And I go, oh my God, why did I do that?
Mm.
Why did I say that? And why? Because I wasn't thinking.
Right.
I certainly wasn't thinking about her in that moment. I just said something thoughtlessly or without much consideration. Certainly it wasn't something that I said for her benefit. And that really ultimately is the purpose of speech. When you speak, it's for the benefit of the listener. But in reality, in actuality, that's not the case so often. We speak because we're enjoying the interaction. We speak because we're enjoying the response. We speak because it makes us the center of attention. And all of these manifestations are really a rather, let's say, inferior level of speech because they're not conscious. They're not intentional. But when I actually consider the person in front of me and something comes to mind that would be of use for them to hear, well, that's a very high form of love. And really the only way that can take place is if I'm actually listening to what they are saying. To fall still and listen is not habitual. It only happens in moments when we're consciously participating in the conversation. And these are the practices, principles, and exercises that we hope to bring to people in the form of retreats and also through my writings. This is the wisdom that helps men and women uplift their lives and the lives of people around them.
Well, I want to let people know that John Adago, we're going to feature him all throughout the OM Times network, all several hundred thousand, a lot more actually. And you'll get to see a picture of John, able to have a video, but get a sense of John and his contribution as a, I like to call John, he's one of my vibrant speakers. You know, when my life fell apart, and what I mean is my existing life, the way I knew it fell apart, and I call these my tsunami years. I just didn't know I had been married, and there was a sense on some way that everything was falling apart. Another way I felt like I was discovering something that would change my whole relational life, and people began to contact me. And what was sort of beautiful was is the vulnerability I shared, they mirrored it back like 10 times. And so people shared their stories beyond their culture, you know, beyond their conditioning. And that I found to be remarkable. And so I as often as I can, I love going up to people and asking them a question that stirs, you know, moves them to share being remarkable. So in the film I'm shooting, there's going to be some scenes where I go into a big department store or on the street, and I just get a whole bunch of people. I've done this the last several years, but I do moments where I just ask people about the remarkable in a way that gives them a doorway to talk about it. It just wakes me up so deeply. And this happened, you know, I became a matchmaker. I didn't become a matchmaker. It's called Vibrant Matchmaker. I didn't become a matchmaker because I thought about being a matchmaker. I came because it was so moving to me when people wanted to have this deep union. And they wanted to go beyond dating to relating. And it was core to the language of it. It came to me through deep explorations and sharings with a whole bunch of different people about, in some sense, the tragedies, the conditioned response in terms of divorces and breakups. And then one day I was biking, and I called my mentor, Dr. Norm Shealy. And I said, Norm, I said, he's a neurosurgeon. I said, Norm, it doesn't make any sense to me. People want to get to know each other. And I go, does that make any sense to you? And he goes, no. He goes, we both acknowledge that what's powerful is recognizing each other. And to see the other person from a perspective of, I guess, seeing they're remarkable. And when I talked to Janet yesterday, I realized that's the way that we want to do the retreats. We want people to come with this sense of remarkableness and, you know, the practice of seeing someone right then and there and recognizing them alters them. I mean, it happens to me all the time where people come up to me and they say something and it sparks something in me that I couldn't come up with on my own. This relational awakening is a fundamental part of the retreats, the vibrant retreats in Kauai. And that was the fun of talking to you yesterday, Janet, is that actually when we speak, and I've had Hillary say this to me, one of my other team members, she'll come, and it seems like we didn't say that much. She'll say, Glenn, I'm totally altered now. I feel like I see things in a whole new light. And I feel that when I had a conversation with John like that, and I had it with you yesterday, Janet, and I'm talking about it could be the same content, but the context of sharing it with you gave me it, almost like that sometimes you'll give it a sound, you'll say something, and it's like, oh, I didn't see it from the angle before. It brings it alive in community, in vibrant community, which is sort of very different than just reading it from a book. And that's why I love the retreats, and that's why the practice of being together for 5-7 days and then coming back and finding this rhythm together. So intimacy, by the way, I just want to add intimacy to this. So I talked to Dr. Dean Ornish in 1989 when he first wrote the groundbreaking book on reversing heart disease. And by the way, funny enough, he was a student of Swami Satchidananda. So he mentioned Swami Satchidananda to me. And so the program at the time, 89, was a very rigid vegetarian diet, very rigid. Couldn't have any olive oil.
Yes.
Very stringent. So what happened was I followed Dean's work, you know, through the years. And he had wrote this book that I don't think anybody read. It was a book on love and loneliness. So what happened in the program was this guy was incredibly – he became so fit. So in the program, there was no requirements. There was no relational requirement. You didn't have to go to group. And, in fact, the guy who broke the records on the rowing machine wasn't in group. He passed away in the rowing machine. And it caused Dean to question everything he'd been doing, which is pretty powerful. So he had been doing a group where there was exercise, there was meditation, there was yoga, all the things that he sort of sensed were profound. So if you asked him in the early days, he would have said yoga. He would have said meditation. But then as his research continued, he felt intimacy was in fact, he actually quoted him as saying that intimacy is much more powerful than any kind of meditation, any kind of surgery. So in the path of the remarkable, in the meeting of the remarkable, I guess the thing I feel the greatest honor and joy about is the relational intimacy. You know, like the people pausing to share something that's unexpected and wonderful. And that's when I spoke to you yesterday, I felt that with you. I felt like, oh, we're talking about it, but I'm actually experiencing it with you. Like when we met the other day, it was just, I want to say it was remarkable. And it was almost like it was almost like no time had existed. I just always been hanging out with you, and there you are again. So I really deeply revere that. I was sitting with John, and I went, what could be better?
Yes. And it was interesting because there were all kind of logistical timing issues about getting together. We were pretty far distance apart in different locations. And so at one point we said, oh, well, maybe it's not a good day. It's not a good time. And all of a sudden I went, oh, wait a minute. It just was not. I felt like I was already there, and then we were canceling. So I think it's really interesting how we step into the intimacy, but even from a distance, we're already together, and the logistics is secondary. They will figure it out. And then there I was, and both of you, I got to visit with Glenn and John in live, not over the phone or over the through the radio, and it was just it was like stepping on a cloud. It was wonderful. It was really like floating.
Well, it actually helped me this morning talking to John, because I hit into a habit. I guess it's a habit. I guess I just had a certain response going to a medical office, and I went to see this eye doctor, who I actually treasured, Dr. Mark Grossman. But it brought up this other whole habitual thing. And talking to you with John about it was actually very useful, very, you know, that's what it is. Sometimes this stuff happens. There's a transmission. There's something that happens. I call it relational presence, where something happens where you're vulnerable and you could share something with another person. As a matter of fact, you know what one of the most interesting TED Talks that I just watched was on secrets. So secrets, what's fascinating, they said that pretty much the internet is void of anybody really taking any very rare intimacy or secrets. So this guy started the secret project. And it was just, he got letters from all the world. And one of his main points is that people, they're very uncomfortable with sharing the secrets, but when they do, it's like the whole life becomes a different life. So that's what his talk was about, and I was just like, wow, there's something that happens when we can share, I guess share the things that are, I did a show a few weeks ago on the relational dark night of the soul, and so I kind of feel like when people go through dark nights, if they could share it, they could have another level of seeing together. And you're going to see John Adago all throughout Om Times Media, on our vibrant book launch and speaker launch. All right, I'm gonna allow you to be intimate again, John. So you shared about your wife. What do you feel, what moves you about wanting to speak and be a facilitator? And really, this is, to me, I see that this is another dimension. You're expressing another wave of your brain, your soul, that you haven't expressed before. What about this particular period of time has moved you to want to bring this work to another level? Because you've been a little behind the scenes. You're not a person that people would necessarily recognize. And now you're going to go out to a lot of people. So what? Anything else you want to share with them before they? And look for John Adago in June in Om Times Magazine, and we'll be doing a massive work about experiencing the remarkable. And you might, and anything you want to share with John also, if you want to give people a couple of practices. We have an upcoming article with John on experiencing the remarkable in Om Times Magazine, and I love the opening of that article. I don't know if we want to give away a teaser of it, but what's something else you want to share with people as your platform increases?
Well, what comes to mind when you use the word intimate
Yes.
And what I think people are seeking to deepen the experience of their life is unity. The ultimate aim of a spiritual path or a way or a religion is union with all and everything. We, in our regular, ordinary lives, I would call it, is where we experience that most often is in intimacy or in moments when we grow so close to another, a lover or a child or a parent or a very close friend, that in fact all that matters to us in that moment is their well-being. Our entire attention, our mind, our heart, our spirit, our soul, their only concern is the well-being of the beloved. In that moment, my needs and concerns drop out of the picture. My ego is no longer there. In fact, the two become one because there's only the beloved. This is something that, although we may not define it consciously the way I just did, it's something that's very familiar to everyone. We know these moments of, quote, deep intimacy, of union, of unity, of pure love. Actually, this is the fulfillment of the aim and purpose of our lives. It's sometimes said that we were created in the image of the divine. And what they're speaking about is a pure, eternal, unchanging, constant love. And what our aim as beings on a spiritual path is to learn to be perfect as the Creator is perfect, that we love like the sun shines. The sun doesn't like this plant, but not that plant. Or there are particular days when it feels like loving and particular days when it doesn't feel like shining. In fact, it emanates an omnipresent, constant, life-giving, supporting force. That's the aim and purpose of its being. We seek to be like the sun, to be like the Creator, to practice love with everyone who crosses our path. Now, this is not naive. There has to be some discernment. We don't let people pick our pocket. But at the same time, the interest when I meet my wife or child or a business associate, a client, a customer, a neighbor, the question that should arise in a responsible adult in that moment is not what is in it for me, but how do I play my role well in this situation?
All right, we're going to take the situation, this music, take a brief pause. To be able to use what we call crisis and come together and feel another level of connection, I'm matchmaker, Vibrant Matchmaker Glenn Brooks, host of the Vibrant Living Network. Stay with us.
Feed your soul with waves of consciousness on OM Times Radio.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free. AscendingHearts.com.
I'm Kathy Williams, host of Sexy Mom Abundant Life radio show on Thursdays at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific. On the show, we explore living abundantly in every area of your life, ways to let go of limiting patterns and beliefs, and to step into the flow of creativity and possibility, knowing you are supported by the universe.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Hi, hello, I'm Glenn Brooks. You're listening to the Vibrant Living Network, and Jana Kropp is with us, John Adago. John has a new launch coming up in June that will share about his work, and also he'll be giving you some practices so you could have more practical ways to become more alive. And one of the practices that I like, I'm going to have us all share our three practices that really matter. What are the things that we could take with us? So one of the practices that I've cultivated is to hold my physical heart and to really tune deeply into my most intimate relationship and feel her pulse. And this is what I teach in Vibrant Matchmaking, is that you go beyond dating because you start from relating. And from relating, it's a genuine thing. And then there's practices. So when you're with someone, I'll give you another simple one. When you're with someone you care about, just even touch fingers. And when you say things, when you use your language, really feel it coming from this deep part of your body. So play with the awareness of where you are in your body during the day. You're in your deep body? Are you in your head? Do you feel right now as we speak a sense of warmth in your hands? And so part of what this is that we get all this conditioning to kind of become very unintegral. So that, as an example, you go to yoga class, but we know a yoga class, like, you got to get back to work. So the idea is to flow in these, to find a flow. So this state of what I call it, relational wakefulness stays with us. So those are the two practices. And I share these practices in groups, like working with Janet and John. So the whole group has a group practice. Because a lot of times when people go to groups, it doesn't become relational. We get caught up in just ourselves. So these relational practices that distinguish the groups we do. And I think people seek out the relational. Because a lot of times, I've met people now, John and Janet, where they've had practices, but they're so individualistic, they have no idea how to bring it to the relationship. And they've told me many times they would love that. So when we go to Menla, we're going to be teaching relational meditation and relational gazing. So, John, I guess what I'm going to ask you to do is share something, but then I want people to know when they see you in the launch and all throughout our large media, our large social network, nearly a million people, give us a practice that people could take into their hearts and minds and they could practice. And if there's a relational dimension, I'd love you to share that they could bring to other people around them as well. Or in their heart, like the practice reveals itself, or the fruitage of the practice is in their relationships as well.
Well, there's an exercise that I do several times a day, and I'll simply talk your audience through it. And usually what comes about is I realize I'm vaguely uneasy, a little flustered or a little frustrated or kind of moving about, running around, and it's something that's just a little bit uncomfortable. Not a lot uncomfortable, just enough to make me want to change the state of mind. And I stop. Simply stop. Let the thoughts and feelings subside. Put the attention out. Come out from your inner world to the outer world. Look out a window or look up at the sky. Be aware of the room you're in, of the other people around you. Connect deeply with the senses. Listen to the furthest sound. Listen to the voice of whoever happens to be speaking. Come to a still place within yourself. And just rest in that stillness for a few moments. Connect fully with who and what I am right now. And simply be. Presence. Now. So that's the exercise. And it's a fundamental exercise because in that moment, if you follow that, something changes. Something shifts. Something opens up. And that's the part of ourself we want to learn to nurture and develop. This is the essence of spiritual development.
What's your website? Why don't you go give your website?
The website is thejourneyback.net. Thejourneyback.net. The two books are Ancient Wisdom Can Enrich Your Life Today and East Meets West, and they're both available on Amazon. And you can contact me through the website should there be questions or need to contact me for any reason whatsoever.
What's the cover of the book? It's quite a cover. Where is the picture on the cover of Ancient Wisdom?
Ancient Wisdom, that's the Temple of Delphi, which is on Mount Apollo in Greece. Yeah, it's very beautiful because it's the ruins of this ancient temple. And above that temple are written a rather famous phrase. It's, know thyself. And legend has it that seven great sages of Greece met there and had that inscription mounted on the entrance to the Temple of Delphi. It's said that Socrates actually had an audience with the mystic who was in residence there, as well as many other kings and ministers and wise men. It was a center for a dispensation of wisdom and truth for many, many generations. And we still have the ruins. I visited that site once, and it is an extraordinary place. You can feel the power. You can feel the wisdom. Yeah. They didn't build that temple in an arbitrary location. They built it because they sensed it was a vortex for certain energies.
Well, speaking of vortexes, yeah, it's a beautiful, beautiful cover. And Janet, you're in Kauai, which you feel is a vortex. And I wanted you to share a practice with the audience. And then, yeah, say something about Kauai, too, because you have so much to share about it. We all are inspired. I'm excited to go there, and I'm excited to share these one-of-a-kind vibrant retreats. What's a practice that you want to pass on to people?
I will happily share all that. I would like to just quickly continue my story about meeting up with Glenn and John the other day. These two amazing men who are you're listening to on the radio. And I want to say that it was such an amazing, beautiful blessing to spend time with these two men. And that I want to encourage people to look, go onto John Adago's website. What is it? Thejourneyback.net, and get his books and read it. John Adago. If I may share about your business that you had, conscientious construction. I share about that? Okay. Well,
sure.
John, you know.
But I don't have any idea what you're going to say.
I know, right? I'm just going to say that, here he is. He's sharing about wise, the greatest, wise people in the world and what they've taught us and his years of experience of meditation and workshops and speaking about this. And then at the same time, he had a construction company, which he's still, they're asking him to do huge projects in New York City, and his construction company called Conscientious Construction. Now, to bridge those things here. And now he is looking to come out and share with people this about the consciousness part. And I just want to encourage everybody, because the authenticity of John Adago, you will never meet anyone more authentic. And that is the key here. And the experience, the wisdom of this man, you know, so, and the same thing with Glenn. So here I got to meet, and I encourage everybody to go to Glenn's matchmaking. Do you have a website?
You know, it's on my current site. We're actually going to put it up again. It just went down to do some reconstruction.
Okay.
It's this Vibrant Living Connections.
Yeah.
Vibrant Living Network. Vibrant Living Network. There's a whole section on Vibrant Matchmaking, and we're officially kicking off the Vibrant Matchmaking program, which you, Janet, will be a part of, and John will bring his wife on at some point. I know it.
Yeah.
It's a joke,
so
John.
This,
joke.
This all, I mean, what you all are listening to here, I just want to encourage you to look in more into what these two men can bring and are bringing.
Thank you.
So there. So, but anyway, yes, Kauai is spectacular vortex, and the yoga studio I have there is a place to bring people to gather and to explore and change their lives, and that type of thing. In the retreat, which is also a foreword, which Glenn has taught me. We don't do retreats. We
That's
do
right.
retreats and forwards.
And forwards, yes. We expand and we contract.
Yes. So.
Beautiful. So beautiful. And also, Janet, I kind of feel you've been there so many years. You could bring us into the heart of soul in between our retreat indoor time to some of these hikes and sacred places and to really to be in the remarkable.
Yes. The place is spectacular every moment. I mean, just like everywhere, but, you know, it's like it's paradise. There are two spots which the Dalai Lama has spoken about and I believe visited. And there one is the spot where all the soul, what he says, all the souls enter into the world. And then there's a spot, a place, a literal place on Kauai where all the souls exit, you know, and leave the earth. So, and he has written about that and spoken about that and visited Kauai because this is the vortex and those two special, you know, places are there. So we could visit there and meditate there and dance there and just experience that sensation and where that is, and bring in your mission, whatever that may be in your heart that you'd like to discover. Kauai is really a beautiful place to be able to do that.
Are there any signs that would say specifically exiting or coming?
they're mind signs. They're in the invisible, but you can see them very clearly if you look.
Okay.
You will know, really. When you land there, when I landed on Kauai for the first time, my whole physicality, I just felt such a deep warmth. And I just went, oh, my God, where am I?
Wow.
And it's very it's substantially experiential, the place. And it's an island in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, way out there, you know.
Mm.
And the elements control things. So being from New York City, I love that because, you know, if it rains too much and you happen to be in Hanalei and the water rises, so they have to close the bridge. And then you're stuck. Everybody has to close, you know, gone surfing, closed for bridge, you know. I mean,
really?
You're just stuck where you are. And then if a lot of times the electricity goes down, I mean, you're really on an island in the middle of the Pacific, and you are – the elements are in control there. And so you're very vulnerable. But yet – you feel, I feel safe there. I feel held by, we call it Mama Kauai. You know, Mama Kauai is blessing us. Yeah.
Mm. So. Share with us the website, and we're going to report more about our all the wonderful connections we're developing around bringing this retreat to people, and experiencing the remarkable and the vibrancy and the intimacy, and how to really replenish and rejuvenate yourself and gain more awakeness tools together. What's the website that you want to share, Janet?
Okay, on Hot Yoga Princeville, PRINCEVILLE.com, go to the retreats tab and you'll see a description of the retreat, and that's one that will be in July, and then we're going to post one for September.
Wonderful.
So you can email, and contact us and see when they are going to be, and sign up.
Thanks for sharing the remarkable, Janet. Thank you, John. And I appreciate all you guys. You're remarkable. You're very welcome. Thank you, Chris. Deeply appreciate it. Your life's precious. Enjoy it. Enjoy the remarkable. We'll speak to you very soon. I'm Glenn Brooks.